Good morning and welcome to this episode of Step Into the Light. I am your host, Patty Sheen. Thank you for listening. On this show, we introduce listeners to people who have found their way out of the dark shadows of life and back to light, and those who, through various ministries and creative endeavors, lead others on their journey from darkness to light. My guest today, Cindy Carmichael, graduated cum laude from CSU Pueblo in 2017 with a degree in health promotion and wellness. In the fall of 2018, she started classes at University of Dubuque to become a commissioned pastor and was commissioned by the Pueblo Presbytery in July of 2020. Cindy, along with two other ladies, Sandra and Nicole, founded Christian Women's Fight Club in the summer of 2015. In 2018, she and her husband, Chaz Carmichael, also a certified pastor, co-founded Greenhorn Ministries. She has been married to her husband, Chaz, for 21 years. She has three children and three grandchildren, all girls. Good morning, Cindy, and welcome to the show.
Hi, Patty. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you, Cindy. I'm excited for your commissioning. I sure wish I could have been there, but as you know, I was still recovering from some foot surgery and unable to drive, so I couldn't get up there, but I'm sure that it was a very exciting time for you.
Yes, it was really a wonderful experience.
Well, let's start out by talking about that very thing. Cindy, you were commissioned in July as a pastor with the Presbyterian Church. Can you think of childhood experiences and influences that led you to this spiritual point in your life? Was there anything when you were younger that led you to believe that this might be a goal of yours someday? Did you grow up in a Christian home or not so much?
So I grew up in Utah. I grew up in a small town in Utah. And, of course, the denominant religion there is LDS and my mother was single and, you know, it was a very different time. It was a different place. There was a lot of stigma at that time about divorcees and, you know, they just weren't really supportive of that. And she couldn't, she was never invited to go to church with anybody, even though there was a church about four blocks away from us. And we finally ended up going to a meeting with the Jehovah's Witnesses because they would come on Sundays and they would pick us up at our small house and they would take us to meetings with them. And so that was really kind of my influence growing up. I would never take anything back from growing up as a Jehovah's Witness. You know, we learned a lot about mission and going out and speaking with people and learning to communicate with our neighbors. We also, you know, learned about the Bible verses and they were very literal in their take on the Bible, which I can appreciate. But at the same time, I always kind of thought, I remember growing up as a child, there's got to be more to it than black and white. And it was always kind of in the back of my head that I knew that the Bible wasn't so literal, that there had to have been some sort of feeling, some sort of more going on with that, with those stories. And so I kind of always questioned that part of it. But of course, as a child, you could never really bring up those questions. My mom worked a full-time job. She was always gone. I remember that. But we always went to meetings on Sunday, and we would have community after, and we would have fellowship. And it was just kind of a interesting part of my life because it taught me how to navigate the Bible. It kind of taught me to ask my own questions. And because we were never separated from the adults, we were always included in the meetings. And it was kind of run like a Bible study where we would go through and there would be a reading and then we would answer questions and look through the Bible and read some of the scripture verses that backed up the answers. And I never really thought that I would be a pastor. I just kind of was happy being in the background and not being out front for anything. My sister was always very much the person who was out front because she was older and she was on the drill team and she was just, she's just a light. And so she always was the one who was in the forefront and I just was comfortable being in the background. So no, mm-hmm. I never thought I would become a pastor.
And how did you make the change from the LDS influence and the Jehovah's Witness influence to the Presbyterian Church?
It is quite a jump. like I said, I always kind of thought that there was more questions, and really kind of through my teenage years and my young adult years, I would honestly say that I wasn't active in any church. I wasn't active with the Jehovah's Witnesses. I wasn't active with the LDS church. So I really didn't have a path, if you will, a spiritual path going on that way. And then I met Chaz, and he was an elder in the Lutheran church. So then we kind of went into the Lutheran church for a little while, and that kind of fell by the wayside just because, internal politics that go on and it just became a place that we ended up not going, and we were kind of away from church for a long time until Emma was born in 2006. Then we started going, and we found a Presbyterian church that was two blocks away from us, and that's kind of how we ended up with the Presbyterian church.
Interesting. And that's, we're going to get into, I think, a little bit of that story later, Cindy, because I'd kind of like to tie in some of the things that Chaz said in his interview back in April with some things that I think you will be interested in sharing with us. So, but I can understand that. I grew up in the Methodist church back in New York where I grew up, came out here and started dating a man who was Catholic. Well, in this town, we have a lot of Hispanic Mexican people. So there's a lot of the Catholic faith influence here. And I started going to the Catholic Church with him and eventually joined the Catholic Church. And then over a period of time, I ended up at the Presbyterian Church when my son was going to the youth group there. And yes. When we had a priest who was of from a different country and his accent was very strong. And I had a difficult time understanding maybe one word in five of what he was saying. That's when my son said, why don't you try the Presbyterian Church, Mom? And I've been there ever since. So it's interesting how those different experiences, lead us down different paths throughout our life.
I think that growing up in Utah and having such a diversity around me, from Jehovah's Witnesses to the LDS, you start picking out there's good qualities in all of the religions. You just have to pick out which ones you're going to really grasp onto and believe. I think
denominations.
Yeah.
Here you were a lady, and you were certainly not a 20-year-old going into seminary. What kind of challenges did you face in becoming a commissioned pastor? Were there certain things that were stumbling blocks for you?
For me, I think the biggest challenge was time, between work and family and the new worshiping community. There was just so much little time, I should say. And just trying to balance that was really kind of the most difficult part of it, plus having to do all of the reading and all of the assignments and comment on all the boards because we were online. So, a lot of it was watching videos and interacting with the other students through online forums. And I think for me, time was definitely the biggest challenge. Some days I would have overtime at work and I was trying to get to classes and trying to read. And so I would say that was definitely the most challenging part. I would have never been able to get through it without Chaz, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I can understand that. Now, what? How, your class, your course, the whole course was only about 2 years then, huh? Is that right?
So it's 10 classes, and most people do the 10 classes one a semester. I was fortunate enough to be able to do two a semester. One summer, I couldn't get two classes, so I had to do, so I had to go an extra semester just to get those other classes done.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because I kind of wondered how that works, and I had, here I'm thinking you actually went physically somewhere. I forgot that just about everything is being done online these days. So.
Yeah, and you know, it was a really great program. It's an amazing program.
But still, there's that element of time. I mean, I don't care if you have to read or listen or whatever. It takes a certain amount of time. So I can certainly understand the challenge for you. And now, did you just have Emma at home at the time, or did you have other children at home as well? Because, of course, I've met Emma.
Nope, it was just Emma. I have two adult daughters. One lives in Utah, and the other one lives in Cotopaxi.
Okay.
So,
oh, I love that area of the state.
Oh, yes.
Okay, yeah, I did not even realize, of course, Cindy, I know you and Chaz from when Chaz used to come down and be our interim pastor when we were looking for a pastor, and I had met Emma. I had no idea that you even had other children. I just thought Emma was your only child, so I was surprised.
She's an only child,
but
she's not.
I guess I didn't see you as being old enough to have adult kids.
Oh, I wish I wasn't, but I am.
Goodness. Cindy, there are many facets to ministry. For some people, their passion is working with young people. For some, it's working with women. For some, it's working with maybe homeless people or grief and loss. There's so many different facets to ministry. What would you say is your ministry passion? If you could come up with a statement that said, this is what I want to do.
Yeah, I think for me, my passion and where I feel led in my calling is that I really feel like it's with working women and families, just to be able to give them a way to worship and just be in the present moment. I look at my degree in my health and wellness promotion, and I have no idea why God led me down that path. There are no jobs in Pueblo for that. And I thought, I'm going to get this great job, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. And I really had no idea why he led me in that direction, except for I was able to do my internship doing mindfulness, teaching mindfulness to children, which allowed me to get my anxiety under control and my stress and my issues that I didn't even realize I had under control just by being able to center myself in the moment. And really, that's what scripture teaches us, you know, be in the moment. You can't worry about the future. Jesus has got this. God's got this. He's got you, and he is in control, and you do not have any say over what he's going to do in your life.
That's so true. And what, explain to us what, this probably should be self-explanatory, but what is teaching mindfulness to children? Is it getting in touch with your emotions and being in control of your anxiety and that kind of thing? Because when I read that, I'll be honest, I didn't know what it meant.
So what we did with the children was we would center them in the moment, basically, is what we were doing. We were bringing them into awareness of what's happening right then and there, and it was really centered around breathing. You know, we would take a big deep breath in, and we would blow it out, and we would close our eyes, and we would just stop and breathe. We would take 10 deep breaths in, 10 deep breaths out, and just get their minds calmed to get to focus on what's going on in that current moment. And they were finding that these children were doing better on their tests. They were doing better in school. Their behaviors were much better because they were able to take that few minutes and just calm their brain and not have anything to think about.
Wow, that sounds pretty neat.
Yeah, it was really fun.
Kind of like what we do when I'm into a, well, now on Zoom, of course, into a chair yoga class. And I don't know if you're familiar with the yoga techniques at all, but that's one of the things they emphasize is the deep breathing.
And that's one of the things we actually did in one of the lessons was we actually did some yoga balancing moves with the
mm-hmm.
kids. So the breathing exercises help them to center and be balanced. That's really where my passion is and where I can see so many women, helping so many women just be able to center and calm. And I hear so many people say that they have anxiety. And I'm not saying that anxiety can be cured just by breathing, but it sure can help. I understand that it's something that people really need to have help with. It's not something that can just goes away just because you were taught how to breathe. I wish it were that simple, but it's not.
No, and anxiety is something that can, it can literally paralyze you if you let it, Cindy.
Oh, yes. It can definitely be crippling. And I just kind of feel like, you know, Jesus went and meditated on the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
We know this. We know that he centered himself through God. And there are ways that we can definitely include some of these things that I learned in promotion, health and wellness promotion, into our spiritual life.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I agree with that, too. If only we would take a little bit of time to slow down once in a while. it would do wonders for us.
Yes.
Well, this kind of ties into the next question I wanted to ask you, Cindy. You guys, I mentioned it in the beginning that you started the Christian Women's Fight Club. And I'm sure that has nothing to do with wrestling. Although maybe figuratively it does. So would you tell us a little bit about what the Christian Women's Fight Club is all about?
We have really gone into, grown into a community where we help each other out. But we also do Bible studies. We share our issues and our problems and we pray about them. A lot of it is just kind of the Holy Spirit just leading that group. We are, it's so hard to explain because it's sort of like a Bible study, but it's so much more because it's grown into a community. And we just saw a need. We saw that there were women who weren't having Bible studies in their own churches, and we found a book about prayer, and we decided that we were going to go through that. So we went through that, and we read it, and we focused on praying for each other, praying for our families, praying for our children, praying for our work. We just all had so many individual prayers that we needed to work on, and we realized that we didn't really know how to pray. We didn't know how to pray effectively. We didn't know how to pray strategically. So through this book, we learned to write down our needs every step of the way and then pray for it. And then once we started praying in this strategic way and outlining to God, hey, this is what we need. This is what's going on in our lives. This is how you can help us. This is what you can help us with, dear God, you know, and just asking for that. He was answering our prayers. And as we started finding more and more books and topics, we just found out that we just needed to grow. And that's one of the reasons why I ended up becoming a commission pastor was because I needed to grow. If I was going to continue to lead this group, I needed to grow because they're looking for me to be a leader. And in order to be a good and effective leader, you have to know, you have to know your subject and you have to know what you're talking about. And that's one of the things that as a commissioned pastor, you really get that emphasis on the schooling.
Well, that's quite interesting, Cindy. How many ladies are in your group?
So we have anywhere from 6 to 12 that come to the group.
Mm-hmm. And it's over there in Pueblo?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you doing your meetings online now, or are you able to actually meet?
So we are meeting, but we, during the time when we were not able to meet at all, we did a Zoom meeting.
Nice.
And that worked out quite well. Yeah, that worked out really well.
Yeah. We talked a little bit about anxiety, but do you see other problems as major problems that women in general are facing today, Cindy?
I think that they're like me, they have a time. There's only so much time in the day, and you're trying to figure out how to balance family and work and any other needs that you have going on at the time. I think encouragement is a big deal for women. You know, we're so busy encouraging our children. We're busy encouraging our husbands and our coworkers, and we forget that we need encouragement and that we need love ourselves.
I would tend to agree with that. And I wonder if maybe another issue that, I don't know if you see this with your group, but women in general, there's so much pressure with the social media world of a comparison type thing. Everybody's always bragging about their kids online or bragging about their job or whatever, you know. Do you find that,
right,
that your ladies sometimes have a hard time with that comparison of, gee, why am I not the super mom that this one is? Or, gee, why is my kid not doing as well in school as, do you see any of that?
So I think that that is a valid concern for some people. I think that with this particular group, we are so, some of the things that they have fasted was actually social media, because they did feel like there was so much negativity and they felt like there was so much of the comparison going on that they had decided, I'm going to fast for a month from social media and just take that time that I would be spending on social media and I'm going to use it to pray or read a devotion.
Yeah.
So, yeah, exactly. I think that's valid for most people that there is that comparison with others. We have a Facebook page for Christian Women's Fight Club, and I haven't posted on it for a while because you know, it comes down to time, and I'm very conscious about what I'm writing, and I'm like, oh, am I going to offend somebody if I say this, or if I say this and somebody, you know, and somebody gets confrontational. So I get very worried about things, and I have just decided, you know, if God puts it on your heart, you need to put it out there.
That's true. Yeah, I tend to be try to be non-controversial too. All of the political stuff just drives me nuts. That's immediate turnoff for me. I just don't even respond to it, you know. So, well, Cindy, I'm sure part of your work with these ladies is to help them share their faith, isn't it, with others, with their work environment, maybe with neighbors and things like that?
Yes.
So I'm wondering, how do we encourage not just women, but anybody, to share their faith without coming across as really preachy? I know that can be a problem for us in the Christian writing world, too.
Right. You know, for me, I think the best way to do it is to, number one, be open about your faith. Number two, live it. if they see you living it, you don't have to go and say, oh, well, I'm a Christian and I do good things and I've done this and I've done that. They'll see you. They'll see that you're doing those things. You don't need to advertise it and be. I think that's when it starts to become preachy, is when you when you are constantly trying to lift yourself up and say, look at these good deeds that I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God puts that on your heart for a reason. God tells us that we're supposed to love our neighbors, that we're supposed to help each other out. That's part of our Christian walk. And we just need, the more we live it, the more we walk it, the more we talk it, the more people recognize. We went to a meeting one time and this gentleman said, I would hang out with these friends from work and they were swearing and they were drinking. And he said, and I just wouldn't participate. I didn't do it. I didn't drink. I didn't swear, but I didn't tell them not to do it either.
Yeah.
And one of them pulled me aside one day and said, how come you don't drink? How come you don't swear? And that opened up the door for him to talk about his faith.
Right. That opens up the conversation.
Yeah. Yep. And he created a friendship. And then once he created the friendship, then he was able to really talk about his faith and walk that open, you know, work on that open door that God opened for him.
Mm-hmm. I definitely understand that, and I agree with that, Cindy. Well, we're about halfway through our interview here, and at this time I usually do a little, what I call a little station identification break type thing, where I remind listeners that you're listening to Step Into the Light. My host today is Cindy Carmichael. Cindy is a recently commissioned pastor with the Pueblo Presbytery here in Colorado, and she has also created the Christian Women's Fight Club, and she is also a co-founder of Greenhorn Ministries, which she created with her husband, Chaz, and maybe we'll talk about that a little bit here in a few minutes. Those of you who have listened to the show in the past may remember that I interviewed Chaz back in April of 2020, and actually I will put a link on my website to Chaz's show as well. In fact, let me tell you all that if you want to know some more information about Cindy, if you want to go back and listen to the podcast again, or hopefully recommend it to your friends or family, you need to go to my website, which is Patty Sheen, that is spelled PattiSheene.com. There, under the Blog Talk Radio tab at the top of the page, you click on that, you will find a link to all of the podcasts that we have recorded to date. And under each podcast is a more information tab, and you click on that and it will give you more information besides what I told you today about Cindy. It will also give you social media links if you would like to learn more about her that way. So far we've been talking about Cindy's commissioning and becoming a pastor, a little bit about her past and what brought her to where she is today. And we've been talking about the Christian Women's Fight Club. What I would like to ask you now, Cindy, and this may be kind of interesting, when I interviewed Chaz, he was very open and honest about his past. And he basically told us that he was not the nice guy pastor that he is today. That he lived a fairly wild, ungodly life, I guess you could say. And one of the things that he said was that you tolerated him during his bad years and you supported him during his good years. He even stated, you need to ask Cindy when you do an interview with her, who was Chaz in 1996 compared to what he is today? So what I would like to ask you is, how did you weather your way through what obviously must have been some issues at the time?
Yeah, you know, I always refer to them as the dark years.
Yeah, and you know, that ties right in with the Step Into the Light. I usually ask people what took them, were they ever in a dark place and found their way back to light? I didn't even bother to ask you that because I think that this subject is going to do that. So,
yes. So, you know, Chaz and I have had our ups and downs, of course, in our marriage. And I think that he had some, you know, darkness that he was facing and some issues that he needed to come to terms with and come to grips with. And we were both trying to really find our faith and to find really what our purpose was. And I think during that, one of the things that helped him to try and do this and to maybe self-medicate was definitely drinking. And he definitely was a different person when he would drink. I just kind of basically curled up in a ball and tried to ignore it. It wasn't the best way to do that. And I look back on it now and I think to myself, how would it have been if I would have started praying for him then during those dark years and lifting him up? I think that probably during part of that time, I was really praying for him and I was praying hard for him. And I think that that helped a lot, especially when he found his mentor. I think that that really helped. But he definitely did a lot of changing on his own. But I think that that was part of the prayers that were going up for him. He wasn't a very pleasant person back then. It wasn't necessarily that he was mean or abusive towards me. It was more other people that he was kind of like that with. And he was just not the type of person that you wanted to take in public when he was drinking. You just wanted to have him hide and not be around him when he was like that. It was really hard for me because at that time I was a very social person. I loved being out. I loved talking to people. And it was hard for me to be embarrassed of who Chaz was then because I was afraid to take him out because I didn't know what he was going to say.
Yeah.
And I think that it, just as a person, I loved him. And when he was sober and he was a good dad, my middle daughter, Harley, still, and one of her best friends who he basically raised, she always says, you know, he was the one who took us into the shed and taught us about life and answered our questions honestly and told us either you grow up and get it right or you're going to be in real trouble when you get older. And I had no idea that any of this stuff was going on, none, until later on. And so, I mean, he was a good person. He just wasn't godly. And then once he found his faith and he found that what he was missing and he found that peace, he became a completely different person. And his life came into the light. And once he came into the light, it brought me into the light. And he became the leader of the family that he needed to be.
That is so neat. And I cannot imagine him that way. Because, of course, I knew him as, you know, I've only known him for a couple of years as our interim pastor. When he started telling me those things on the show, I was like, wow, you've got to be kidding me. You know? So, well, thank you for sharing that with us, Cindy, because I think,
you're welcome.
You know, I think that that there's a lot of people that are in that situation. My husband was a fairly heavy drinker, but so was I.
Right.
I used to love to go out and party with him as much as, you know, as he liked to go. But there were definitely issues in our marriage too. And it is hard when you have that alcohol involved. And like you did, I prayed an awful lot. There were nights when I prayed that please, you know, bring him home safely in one piece back into the driveway.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And I'm sure you went through that too. And I mean, you're just hoping and praying that, they're going to be okay, you know?
Right. So, and you know, and I'm not going to say that I was completely perfect in the whole situation either, because, you know, like I said, neither one of us were really living our lives for Christ, and it wasn't like our first, it wasn't our go-to. God was not our go-to. And so we were looking for the world to help us through this. And it wasn't helping. It was, if anything, it was really kind of making it worse.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I can't stress enough how much work he did for himself. I think I helped by staying with him and telling him, you need help. You've got to fix this. We can't keep living like this.
Mm-hmm.
And he, at one point, just, he had to say, she's right. I need to find help. Once he found help and he started changing, it made me want to change. And we just kind of started, ended up growing together. And it was amazing when that happened.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I know with my husband, it was interesting. He started having some rather severe health problems and he had to have some cardiac surgery. And I was the one who was freaking out the night before. You know, I was so anxious, and he was just calm as a cucumber. And finally I told him, I said, aren't you nervous? And he said, well, I don't know what for. He said, it's all in God's hands. There's nothing I can do about it. You know? And I thought, wow, he's got more faith than I do when it comes to that. It was like, why should I worry about it? It's all up to him, you know? And I thought, his faith was probably a lot deeper than what I ever explored with him, to be honest. You know, he was not the type of person that was real easy to sit down and have a conversation with. He just was not a conversationalist. Mm-hmm. But over the years, when he went through a lot of medical stuff, and I mean, he was just always so patient and so calm. And I thought, wow, there's got to be something there that allows a person to do that, you know? And I really think that, his faith was pretty strong, and he had pretty much quit the real heavy drinking by then too. So
And I think for Chaz too, it was his health issues that really, there were so many things that were going into that, his health. We didn't know where our marriage was going to go because it was such a dark time for us. And we had this little family that we had started together with Emma, and we just didn't know. His uncertainty and his, I don't think that he ever thought it would happen to him. And so once it happened to him, he was like, oh, crap. God's telling me something.
Yeah.
God will go to extremes to get our attention if we don't listen to him.
Thanks for sharing, Cindy. And what recommendations would you have for people that are kind of spiritually unequally yoked? One tends to be a believer, one is not. One likes to believes in going to church and all, and the other one is like, no, that's not my thing. Do you have any recommendations to people as to how to handle that?
Pray for them.
Yeah.
Just continue to pray for them, and really, God's the only one who can fix that.
Yeah.
Just pray for them. If you have friends who are prayer warriors, you have them pray for him, you know, and you be him or her, and you be consistent about doing it, and work on bettering yourself. Even if they don't want you to become better, you need to still continue to work on yourself, because the only person that can change someone else is themselves.
Right.
And so if you think you're going to be able to change somebody, you're wrong. That's not how it works. I mean, I saw it with Chaz. He was the one who had to initiate that. He was the one who had to say, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. My life means more to me. Until he said that, there wasn't anything that I was going to do or say that was going to make it better for him.
Exactly.
And then pray some more. just pray, work on yourself, pray some more, and then understand that everyone has faults.
Oh, absolutely.
And you pick, yes, and you have to pick someone with faults that you can live with. The best advice I was ever given, you have to be with someone that their faults you can live with. Because everyone has faults. Nobody's perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very true.
I just can't stress prayer enough. I think that once I started praying and once I really started believing that the Lord was the only one who could change his heart, the work that he did, I think it was just not only a relief for me knowing that I'm doing everything that I can in my power to help him to change and to get him to recognize that there is a problem, it lifted a weight off of my heart.
Sure.
Because I knew that God had it, and I knew that he was in control.
Exactly. Well, Cindy, we've got a little bit of time left, but I wanted to ask you if there's anything you would like to talk about that I didn't particularly ask you, which sometimes happens. Yeah, I wish she had asked me about that. She just didn't.
You know, I just wanted to let everybody know that, you know, I came from a very small town, and when we moved to Pueblo in 2002, this was a city to me. It's huge, big city. No clue what a one-way street was. Made that mistake a couple of times. Thank goodness it was really late. And
yeah.
I didn't kill anybody, you know. I mean, it was, thank the Lord. But I think that there's a culture shock that comes from coming from a small town to a big town. And I think that finding a community to be with, a positive community, is really the way to just kind of adapt yourself. I think that once we found Westminster Presbyterian Church here in Pueblo, and the pastor was had very similar likes and interests as Chaz, I think that once he handled, got a mentor, a spiritual mentor, I think that helped him a lot as well. And it helped our marriage. You know, just, I think that what I would really like to say is, if you're new in a community, if you're a longtime member of a community, reach out to someone and don't be alone, especially in this pandemic.
Oh, definitely.
Like, it's so easy to get caught up in the, oh good, I don't have to go anywhere, I don't have to do anything, I don't have to socialize, I don't have to be around people. But God meant us for community. And so we need to reach out to others, and don't let yourself get into a rut where you're not wanting to go out and do anything and not wanting to talk with people. Reach out to somebody who is a friend or a neighbor, and just to say hi, just to get that human interaction, because it's so easy just to get caught up in depression by not going out and doing stuff.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that, Cindy, with that advice. Do you have any particular future plans at this point, Cindy, or are you just kind of taking a breath and gratefully got through school and got your commission, and now you have some time to yourself a little bit?
Yes. Really, I'm just hoping that at some point God will open up a door for a part-time pastor or a full-time pastor, so that I can continue to grow spiritually, and hopefully at some point, you know, be able to lead more people to Christ. I just don't know what God has planned for me. I sit there and I listen to my prayer warriors in Fight Club, and they say, God has such big plans for you. You have no idea what he's going to do. You just need to be faithful and just continue to allow him to do the work. And so that's what I'm doing. I'm being faithful, and I'm allowing him to do his work, so that at some point, maybe, you know, I don't know what he's got planned for me and Chaz, but I'm assured that it's going to be great.
It's going to be awesome. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm excited for that. Oh, I was going to say, and hopefully maybe one day there will be a book about my life. That's kind of in the works for me too. So just kind of working on that here and there. And, you know, I feel like when God's ready for it, he'll just give me all the words and it'll be done.
Isn't that funny? So, I was going to ask you, did you ever think about writing a book?
Yes, it's in the works. I've got some pretty good stories to tell. So we just got to get it written down and figure out what order it's going to go on, because our lives are such chaos that it feels like it's chaos in the works.
Absolutely. So. Yeah, well, God can take chaos and make some pretty wonderful stuff out of it. So
yes.
We'll see what happens. Thank you so much for sharing all that you did with us today. May God continue to bless you and Chaz and your family and your ministry. And thank you again.
All right. Well, thank you for having me. It was a lot of fun. I appreciate it.
Listeners, in closing, when you look back on the dark periods in your life, you may find they were not quite as dark as they seemed at the time. And when the light does shine again, it is so much brighter than you remembered. Don't forget to go to Patty Sheen, PattiSheene.com, and there you will find Cindy's podcast as well as all the podcasts we've recorded to date. And under the More Information tab, you will find Cindy's website, which is right now under construction, but it is going to be available here in probably a couple of months. So check that out. She also has a Facebook page that I will put up there, and I'll also have a little bit more information about Cindy. So until next time, God bless you. Thank you for listening.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a